I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Randomly Generated History Club Christmas Special.
Woo!
Where us three non-historians pick a Christmas at random.
Uh-huh.
And try to learn things about it.
Sorry, was there homework?
There was some homework,
okay.
Which I've done.
Okay, good.
That I set and didn't tell anyone about. It's surprise homework.
Okay.
The best kind.
I thought, to be clear, this was a non-episode in which people are not getting approved content.
Well, I, like Hermione Granger, have done extra credit.
I love that.
I've got some stuff good to go. But first of all, introductions.
Yes.
My name is Ant.
My name is Hermione Granger.
Will, what's your name?
I'm Will, still.
Okay.
This is really fun because it's going to be a taste of what the Patreon bonus episodes are like, which is to say totally unhinged.
Completely unhinged.
So this is your flavor. Feel free to give us money so you can hear more of it.
So wherever you are this Christmas time, we hope that you're having a lovely time and you can sit back. You have a festive drink.
A Yule log.
A Yule log, an eggnog, a big dog.
A Balrog.
Balrog, all of those. But what I've done is I've taken actually the opportunity here to uncover some facts about the history of Christmas itself.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Are you ready?
Yeah. I feel like last year when we did this, it centered a lot around the history of the turkey.
It did, yeah.
So I hope there's twice as many turkey facts this year.
Can you believe this is our second Christmas
special?
I've
got some facts, actually.
Okay.
Go on.
Let's go.
Did you know? Here's one for you. Did you know that the first ever blood transfusion that was successful took place on Christmas Day?
On July 17th.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. Why would they wait till Christmas Day for it?
In 1667, a French physician transfused blood from a sheep into a 15-year-old boy.
Oh.
A sheep? That doesn't sound like it ended well.
For either animal.
I don't have the details here as to how well it ended. It took place in France, so it was a French sheep and probably a French boy.
Oh, well.
Which that probably means they're compatible.
Probably does. Well, I thought, when I was brainstorming this,
okay.
It's like, what is Christmas all about?
Presents.
Yeah, well,
Jesus.
What do you think Christmas is all about?
Gift giving and
French,
joy.
French sheep blood transfusions.
I think it's about cold weather.
Ooh!
If you really think about it, right? Why did we have Christmas in the first place?
Yeah.
Back when we were pagans. Dark day of the year, wanted to get together. It was cold, it was dark.
Party.
And what's the coldest place of all?
My heart.
Yes, and much like your heart, this has been the claims to this land is manifold. This is about the signing of the Antarctic Treaty, which happened on December 1st, 1959.
Okay.
Yeah. So
hang on, sorry. This is not in scope. Surely
it's Christmas time, December 1st.
You can't just choose something that happened in December and then...
No, it's like how you take your Halloween decorations down mm-hmm. at midnight on October 31st.
100%.
And then at 12:01,
yep.
it's Christmas season. Mariah Carey deems it so every year.
I genuinely believe that anyone that has Christmas decorations up before December 1st should be put in stockades.
Yeah.
And
December 1st? This is a little bit different in America because we have Thanksgiving. And
yes.
so I would say after Thanksgiving, which can be as much as like a week before December 1st.
I might allow it.
All right.
But anyway, Antarctica. The Antarctica, as we know, big landmass.
Yeah.
Who owns it?
Santa. Oh, no, that's the other one.
And that is Santa's arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Lord Penguin King.
Lord Penguin King. AKA Bad Santa.
But basically, the sort of historical way of claiming land was go there, stick a flag in it, mm-hmm. and oppress the locals.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no locals to oppress, except for the penguin kind. But officially, 12 countries came together to sign this treaty on December 1st, which was Argentina, Australia, Belgium.
Belgium?
I know, right?
The fuck were they doing down there?
No idea. Chile, France, Japan, New Zealand, Norway, South Africa, the Soviet Union, and the United Kingdom and United States. The treaty now actually has 54 parties involved in it, so I'm not going to name all those, but there are probably other weird odds and sods, like Belgium, like, you know, who else should not
Emperor
be there?
Emperor penguins, Adelie penguins.
Name two other types of penguins.
Rock hoppers.
Ooh, one more?
Shit, I definitely know more. Give me a minute.
You're off penguin
game. Yeah,
countdown.
I'm off my penguin game.
But this treaty.
Gentoo
actually...
penguins.
Gentoo is a great one.
Gentoo
good job,
is
Will.
A good one. Yes, that's a very good
giant?
One.
Giant? Is there a giant penguin, or is I'm thinking of panda?
Emperor penguin.
I said emperor.
Red penguin.
Red
flying
penguins.
Penguin.
Communist penguins.
Communist penguins. Yeah, there probably was some. And the Russian enclaves there. Yeah, there are. It was done for scientific cooperation mainly. They just wanted to kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Share all that ice. Science.
It's good ice. You can't spell science without ice.
There is some controversies, though, about Antarctica.
Okay.
Just FYI. First of all, environmental concerns.
Yeah.
Very messy, some of these places.
Yeah.
They're just spilling their rubbish on
Human
the...
waste.
Yeah, the treaty says you can't, like, dump stuff there and everything. However, waste disposal is extremely problematic down there, as yeah. you can imagine. All these research centres, what do they do with the rubbish?
Put it in the sea. Bury it under the ice.
It's a combination of bury it under the ice, burn it, and also don't make as much rubbish as
feed
normal
it
places.
To the penguins.
Yeah, you feed it to the penguins.
Okay.
Also, another thing that's cropped up recently is apparently there could be some rich veins of sweet, sweet resources underneath all that ice and snow, because, of course, Antarctica underneath is a solid landmass. And back millions of years ago, it was actually a sort of a forested area when the world was much, much hotter at certain stages. So there is potential that there could be some delicious, juicy oil down there. Oh, and sugar.
Sorry, that was so juicy I dropped my phone.
I've also uncovered a few interesting bits about sort of military activity there. Apparently, there are allegedly secret bases in Antarctica.
Aliens?
And potentially could be where they keep aliens.
Will, you seemed like you were about to let us in on some state secrets there.
I have absolutely no comment to make about the super secret alien base. And damn it.
Oh, you can't. You guys can't see, but his eye is twitching. He definitely knows something.
He is. Oh my God, is he Lord King Penguin?
I mean, if the shoe fits, if the big flipper fits.
There you go. That's a tangential December fact I had for you.
That was a great December fact.
I have one more. So for those of you can't see this, but Will is having to dial in this episode, and he's discovered that you can put filters on. And he's just put on a filter on Google Hangouts of him in a noir detective novel where he's now wearing a fedora and it's all gone black and white.
I'd say a fedora that's about twice the size of his head.
Head detection is really hard. We've not got that down.
It's really good.
Oh, maybe it's detecting his massive alien head and making the hat.
Oh, it's hiding
that.
His alien brain. I would say we should screenshot this and post it on the Instagram, but Will has locked us out of the Instagram for the time being.
So if anyone contacts you from our Instagram, that's going to be a spam bot that's trying to scam you out of something. Yeah. So just beware, we're completely locked out of our Instagram. Thanks to Will, the genius alien.
Oh, that's great.
Well, do you guys have any interesting tidbits for Christmas that you want to bring up? I've got one more.
Yeah, I was bringing them up. Here are my Christmas facts. I will give you three.
Okay.
One. Isaac Newton was born on Christmas Day.
Oh, that's very good.
Okay, that's pretty good.
There we go. Two. The blood transfusion thing. We've done that one already.
Yeah, I've done that one.
Okay, in 1913, there was the great crossword puzzle craze. On Christmas Day in 1913, the New York World newspaper, which was a very famous and popular newspaper at the time, published a crossword puzzle created by Arthur Wynn. And this simple game then would go on to become a worldwide phenomenon and a beloved pastime for millions. It was indeed the first ever crossword.
Was it the first ever, really?
I did know that because I do love crosswords, but I love, have you solved it?
Have you done it?
I have done it, yeah.
Oh, really?
I have a book about puzzle history. Because
of course you do.
I'm going to die alone. And it has a whole chapter on crosswords, and it has the very first ever crossword puzzle that was published.
That's pretty cool.
It was very hard. It's very different than how they've
made sure. Yeah, he didn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, also, like, it was just about different types of hats, mostly.
Oh, was it like pop culture of the day?
Yeah, pop culture of the day. Is like, which radio star has been seen canoodling with a Las Vegas showgirl?
What does canoodling mean? Nobody canoodles anymore. All these Gen Z millennials, what are they called now? Are we millennials?
We are millennials.
Okay, yeah. good.
Thank God we're not Gen Z.
Gen Z.
Shout out to all our Gen Z listeners.
Yeah. What's after Gen Z? Is there a new generation yet?
Yeah, they're Gen Alpha.
Oh, that makes sense. It goes back. Gen Alpha.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good generation to be in.
I think I'm going to start a dating app called Canoodler.
Canoodler.
Yeah. I think there's a hole in the market.
I think there really is. Okay, Will is now a cat. Good filter change there. I have one more interesting tidbit of information about Christmas. What was the greatest gift ever given for Christmas?
Charlemagne's crown as Holy Roman Emperor.
Ooh, very good, but totally wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Will.
The cat, what does the cat say?
A cornered little mouse.
The answer, technology.
Oh.
When was the first text message ever sent?
Was it on Christmas?
Close enough.
Oh, God. Yeah, was it in the Christmas zone?
It was in the Christmas zone, for sure.
Is this from a phone to a phone, or are you talking about, like, a mainframe, you know?
Well, I will go into that in intricate detail.
Okay.
But the first time a phone received a text message.
All right, I'm going to sort of split the difference and say 1985.
Will? Any... Anything from our coy cat in the corner?
Really?
1989?
You should have gone way earlier.
Yeah.
Price is Right rules. $1.
It is not $1, and it was actually the 3rd of December, 1992.
Oh, okay. I take it back. So good guess, Will.
This was sent by a young chap named Neil Papworth, who was 22 at the time.
Okay.
He was an engineer for the SEMA Group, now part of some other place.
Axion Ballistic Dynamics Incorporated. Yeah.
But they're working for Vodafone in the UK on a ballistic missile project. And he simply said, Merry Christmas.
Oh.
And it was sent from his computer, which you're right, because phones didn't have keyboards at the time.
Yeah.
To the director at Vodafone, who the director had an Orbital 901 mobile phone. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
1992 mobile technology.
Is that like a Nokia?
It was pre-Nokia. Okay. Pre-Nokia phone for sure. So phones didn't have keyboards, so it was just a one-way thing. And he was obviously, you know, just brown-nosing his boss to send him a happy Christmas thing. As we know, text messages didn't go very far and nobody uses them at all.
Yeah.
Incorrect. Guess how many text messages are sent every single day?
Every day. Well, I send about 200,000.
Please respond.
Are we including WhatsApps and things?
Or just if it's SMSs, SMS. Boy howdy, I haven't sent one of those in years.
I'm going to say SMS because that's all I have the facts and figures for in front of me.
I think on the average day in the world, what's the population of the Earth right now? Like 8 billion?
Approaching 8.
I'd say probably less than 30 SMSs. Less than 30.
Okay.
The only SMSs I get are like login codes.
Yeah.
I would say I'm going to go more than 30. I'm going to say 30 million.
So the answer is 23 billion texts per day.
Wow.
23 billion SMSs per day in the globe. This is obviously kind of a slightly rough number. It's very hard to get.
Yeah, who's counting? That's a shit job.
I've got a clicker and my thumb has got RSI from doing it.
Yeah. God. But how many times do you think a person could click a button in one day without having...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Jeez.
Seize up.
I mean, there was that video where someone was given like a £1 dumbbell to see how many times they could curl it, and they got to like, you know, 10,000 or something.
Oh my God.
Which I'm going to say probably about 20,000 if you had to
push. Yeah, if you're at like prime thumb limber.
That does seem like limberness. A Mr. Beast video in the waiting.
Mr. Beast, I know you're listening.
Thumb clicker. But that does work out to 8.4 trillion text messages a year, which takes up a hell of a lot of data, if you can imagine.
That's about how many emails I get from the Democratic National Committee asking me to give $5 to Joe Biden.
Does it really? Do you really get that? I don't get that so much, being a British citizen.
Well, yeah, that would be problematic.
If you get an Instagram message asking you to donate to a political cause from us, it is not us. But I've actually done some calculations on this. The amount of data, so 140 bytes per text. If you were to write that out, one day's worth of text messages on standard A4 paper would stack approximately 140,958 meters high.
Wow.
And if you were to say that relative to the distance of the moon...
But why would we do any of these things?
Yeah, we text so we don't have to write our messages on paper, you dweeb.
I'm trying to give some units of measurement that people are familiar with, such as...
But they're preposterous and unhelpful.
Distance to the moon. No, this is not preposterous.
Hey, well, there's nothing more Christmassy than talking about the distance to the moon, okay?
Which, and 140,000 meters distance to the moon is approximately 0.000367.
That's not very far at all.
No, it's not very, very far. But it's still a very tall stack of paper, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
However, if we wanted to reach the moon with the paper,
okay,
it would take
We don't.
Sorry, I have a clarifying question about the paper. It's all the text.
Single-sided,
just like single space, 12-point font, Times New Roman.
Yeah, basically 140 bytes worth of data per page.
Okay.
Which is actually not that much, really.
Yeah, all of Wikipedia is like 30 gig or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
maybe less. I think less than that.
Actually. If we wanted to reach the moon, it would take us 7.5 years worth of text messages to get there.
Okay.
Which is equivalent to about 457 million trees worth of text messages.
That's too many trees to sacrifice for this noble cause.
Which is approximately 4.5 thousand square kilometers.
Of trees.
Of trees.
Which is approximately the size of...
Brunei.
Wales.
Or three Londons.
Three Londons. Okay.
On the whole, I think we should stop printing our text messages.
You know those, you know how people still sometimes have that email signature that says, like, please consider the environment before printing this email? It's like, who's printing emails?
That is a very good question. Will, why do you print your, why do you print emails that you send me, then send it to me in the post?
It is, I will say, it is nice to receive post, but yeah, it is. I don't want your emails.
What are we all hoping to get for Christmas?
I don't have a funny answer. I have a real answer, and I hope my dad / Santa is listening because okay. I want AirPods.
You want AirPods?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. That's a good present.
Yeah, because my headphones broke.
Will, what do you want?
I want Anna's AirPods.
Rude.
I want to forest Brunei.
Yeah, I want to forest Brunei with the trees required for my text messages.
Dare to dream. We should get Elon on this. Tall paper stack. .io.
See if it exists. It
probably does.
Maybe tall paper stack dot Christmas to keep with the theme of this episode.
It's
which
Christmas
has come through.
Name. That'd be
very, very clear. I thought you could do dot anything.
No, there's still like a list that you can register. And there are some like, you know, random ones like dot, you know, ninja and dot pizza, yeah, and dot random stuff as well. I don't think that dot.
Did you say pizza?
Pizza.
Is that how you pronounce it?
How'd you say it?
Pizza.
What am I saying? Pizza.
I swear you just said pizza.
Pizza. I'm saying pizza.
Pizza. I'll have a pepperoni pizza.
Is that how you, I'm saying pizza.
No, it's not pizza. It's pizza.
I'm saying the exact same thing as you.
Okay. Will?
So this was the content that you thought and would potentially qualify as just like a normal episode with a Christmas spin.
This is the high brow, high bar stuff you can come to expect on our Patreon.
The Crimbo Limbo episode has, now that we've done two, I can say is my favorite episode that we do every year.
But think about it this way. You're driving home for Christmas. You got a long way to go. What better way to keep you company than three of us talking about text messages?
Than three morons talking about printing out their text messages. If this doesn't cause you to drive off the road, I don't know what will.
Do you know, you're right. We should probably invest in a P.O. box so our fans can mail us.
Yeah, especially now that our Instagram is dead.
I just don't know how you can do that in today's modern technology.
Intellectual
age.
I know.
That's because Will is a time traveler.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Will, do you have any more Christmas facts?
He's shuffling through stacks
quickly,
of paper.
Quickly Googling.
No, I don't think he does.
Elvis Presley's draft notice came through on Christmas Day when he was drafted into the military.
No. Yes.
In 1957. Wow. In fact, no, it didn't. It came through on the December 20th, 1957.
Oh, which, well, is like, that it actually
does
Christmas.
Not meet my criteria. Everyone forgets that fact. It's not a Christmas fact.
Actually, I do have a controversial Elvis fact that happened recently.
Okay.
Did you know that Elvis Presley had a jumbo jet of some sort, some sort of private plane?
Yes.
That was sitting in some desert somewhere, wasting away and belonged to basically just a scrapyard. Yeah. Someone bought it and then converted it into an Elvis-themed camper van instead.
Oh.
And then the excess metal, which obviously there's quite a lot because like you can fit a lot
of... The wings, for instance.
The wings. No need for wings on a bus.
Yeah.
He sort of carved a lot of that up into sort of Elvis memorabilia, and it says, like, you know, Elvis Presley memorial plane bit. And you can buy it online, and it caused absolute uproar in my Elvis impersonators club.
Well, yeah, you guys are very diligent and very sort of, you have like a strict doctrine about what can and can't be carved up and sold as memorabilia.
Hair, no problem.
Would you like to debut your Elvis impersonation for the podcast right now?
I can, yes. Let's absolutely, yes, yeah. And here we go. Hello, I am Elvis. I have an achy, breaky heart.
Oh,
don't
Elvis, you're covering Billy Ray Cyrus.
Don't break my heart. Achy, breaky heart is not an Elvis song.
No.
That is shocking to me. Absolutely shocking.
I don't think your Elvis impersonators group is very good.
I'm blue, abadi, abadai. Is that not?
No, that one is for sure.
So that is my fact about Elvis.
That's a good Elvis fact.
And that happened about last week, I think.
Oh, that's a very recent Elvis fact.
Yeah, very recent.
Okay. I have no Christmas facts.
No. Maybe we should just end it here then.
Yeah, we can just end it. Will, do you want to turn into one more cartoon character before we end it?
I do, yes. Just give me one moment.
He had it. What you've missed so far, dear listeners, is he had a cat on his head.
Yep.
He was a dog. He was a T-Rex. He sat in front of all manner of lovely Christmas backgrounds.
Yep.
And now he's just Will. It was kind of boring. Is that Dubai?
It's a nice... no, that's New York, right? That's the whatever tower.
Oh, I can't see from this angle.
That's the Freedom Tower. Oh, now it's an aquarium.
Oh, now he's underwater.
No, I'm in an underwater undersea lab. It's a lab, specifically.
That's very good.
Under the Antarctic.
Oh, here's a, not a Christmas fact, but a really embarrassing fact about me.
Yes!
I was, because I feel like I've cultivated an air of sort of sophisticated, refined intelligence on this show. Have I told you guys about what I used to think tunnels were?
What could you possibly have thought tunnels were?
It wasn't until I rode the Eurostar from London to Paris for the first time. So I'd say within the last decade that I realized that they had dug that underneath the seabed and just built a tunnel like through the water.
Tube.
Yeah, like a big tube that if something cracked, immediately just all this water would flow in.
I see.
And I blame the video game Cruise in USA for that on N64, because there was a level where you could drive around Hawaii in these big underwater tunnels with clear glass on the sides.
Okay.
And so that warped my youthful mind. And it wasn't until I saw the little diagram on the Eurostar of the train going down underneath the seabed and then up.
Okay, that's not totally figured out. I thought you like didn't believe tunnels existed or something, or
I don't think they exist.
Or something like that. You know, I don't know. Like that's it.
I thought the train went into a wormhole and then emerged in France.
The Irish comedian Darragh O'Brien has a very good bit about the European tunnel.
Okay.
Or the Eurotunnel, or the Channel, as it is often called.
Yeah.
Channel tunnel. Which is a gross word, just
it's
a gross
not great.
Sound.
Yeah.
Channel. It sounds
yeah.
gross. Anyway, when they dug it, they had machines on both sides,
yeah.
the French side and the English side, that were chugging away to each other, chewing up the ground. And then rather than like extracting them all the way back again, they just turned them 90 degrees to the right, both of them, dug a little bit, and then paved it up behind them. And so those digging machines are still down there lurking.
Oceans 12 lied to me?
I think so, yeah.
Is it Ocean's 12?
And then one French engineer and one British engineer were chosen to go in with them, weren't they? Like the pharaohs.
They had to be interred. They had to be interred, yes, for sure.
And we were buried with a donkey and... what were the pharaohs? What else were the pharaohs buried with in the pyramids?
all their organs in canopic jars.
But, yes, they were embalmed.
Yeah.
Highly recommend Darragh O'Brien for this, though, because he's got a very good sketch.
That's very
and
good.
And he's like, you know... Can you imagine being on that, you know, machine? It's like, are we going to France? It's like,
nope.
Yeah, we're going to France. Just a little bit further.
Just a little bit further. Oops. Man, they would have had... I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah. There we go.
Well,
that's Christmas.
Brilliant.
The most Christmassy
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I can really think of. I hope that filled everyone with the holiday spirit. This is actually coming out the day after Christmas.
Is it? We could put this out on Christmas.
Yeah.
Or Christmas Eve or something.
Sure.
I'll put it on Christmas Eve maybe as a little treat for people. So you're welcome. Don't say I don't get you anything. Also, if you want to follow us, you can follow us on Instagram at the Randomly History Club 2.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, I guess.
We also have a Patreon where we do some of these unhinged episodes. There's quizzes, there's puzzles, there's fun, there's games. I post some random stuff about
that. That would be a nice Christmas present that people can get us.
It really would, to
join our Patreon. And in return, they get a present from us, which is more content like this.
I mean, it's a bit,
win-win.
A bit better than this, really.
Bye, everyone.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye. Happy Christmas. Jingle bells.
Oh, he literally hung up the meeting. I was just going to stop the recording.
Oh, okay.
And he literally hung up.
I guess Will had somewhere else to be.
Bye, Will.
Bye, Will.
And bye
goodbye
you.
To our listeners.
Yes, bye. I'm such an asshole.
Thank you. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.